Good morning, everyone. I have a bit of a story for you to begin. Some years ago, I left the ministry of the church to work with an MP, a member of parliament. Some of you already know this. Before I began my work, the MP arranged for me to meet with a very special woman. He believed that that meeting would be valuable for me before I went up the hill to work with the big boys. He was absolutely right. Let's call her Rachel. She was a key supporter and advisor to the MP. She was a keen observer of Canadian politics, and although she had never held office, she was quite experienced in public policy formation, in campaign strategy. She had a wise and balanced perspective. She was revered and sought after by politicians at every level for many elections. She gave sage counsel because she understood the blessings and the curses of human nature. Rachel was a committed Christian. We met at her condominium in West Vancouver. She was between chemo treatments, so she couldn't go out. After a conversation about politics and ministry, the sharp differences and the many similarities, she gave me this, a very simple cardboard mounted passage. This happens to be today's scripture. That's what was given to me. She had underlined, actually highlighted at the bottom, verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Well, of course, I was about to start a job in federal politics, a world that we imagine to be full of backstabbers and sleazy dark deals and unsavory motives and arrogant privilege. I found virtually none of that, by the way. And I can't tell you who did exhibit some of those traits because some of them still hold office. In truth, I met and I worked with people of integrity who had sacrificed any semblance of a balanced family life to serve Canadians. But that part of life on the Hill isn't newsworthy. So we only hear about the worst stories when the wolves have run amok. Jesus' words are very good advice for a federal staffer. But he's speaking to the 12, and perhaps other followers. Biblical experts aren't sure either way. He's sending them out to share hopeful news that the kingdom of God has come close to us, and then affirm the message and establish their authority and lift up the listener with miraculous healing. What could possibly go wrong? I have often heard this passage quoted to encourage evangelism. Be smart about it, yet gentle. Particularly verse 16 has strong images. Sheep among wolves, be snakes, be doves. Certainly within Christian communities, one can assume that there has been teaching of Christ for kindness, for acceptance without judgment. Whereas worldly values may encourage the opposite. Take care of number one and exercise judgment at all times to avoid the wrong kind. So it seems that Jesus recognizes the potential risks of reaching out and reaching into places and lives where God is entirely unknown. But Jesus is sending his followers out into a society that has heard about God. Jesus has specified the target audience, the lost sheep of Israel. Some translations include the nation of Israel or the household of. We're not talking about, at the time, relatively small geographical region of Israel. At the time, it didn't even include Jerusalem. But the people of faith in the tradition of Abraham, the people who were called to love and to honor one God. Jesus sent the disciples to those who had treasured, studied the commands of Moses, who revered the great kings like David and Solomon, who were guided by their prophets to anticipate the Christ among them. Jesus was sending his disciples out on a mission to God's own people because some were lost. And God couldn't leave them like that without a search. Lost could mean they'd willfully rejected God and the teachings of the Hebrew faith. Lost might mean that the circumstances of their life had convinced them there was no God, or that God had abandoned them. Maybe lost meant their lives were hugely successful and they'd convinced themselves they no longer needed God. Or maybe their lives were so crowded with busyness that time for God wasn't convenient or as valuable as other diversions and obligations. So many reasons to feel apart from God and Christ. But I think it's worse for them. I think the Trinity misses us when we wander away, when we fall out of relationship with the divine that completes us. My apologies to Tom Cruise. So Jesus creates a full-blown, multi-pronged outreach campaign to a new mission field, the once faithful of God. How did that happen? How did some members of the 5,000-year-old Hebrew tradition become lost? The same way that some folks in the 2,000-year-old Christian tradition become lost. We're human. The Christian church is so long established, so many generations away from the man of miracles who began everything. Have we forgotten where we came from? A lowly stable, a humiliating cross, and proof of incomprehensible love and grace. After centuries of brilliant theology and interpretation? Have we overcomplicated and obscured the perfect, pure truth of his message? Having been the undisputed global majority since the 4th century or so, has the church lost the impetus to struggle for God's purposes, to stand out and to speak up for Christ's eternal values in a trend-driven society? Who are we in this passage? Are we the missionaries? Are we the lost? Are we some of each? We are greatly blessed by our faith, by our community, by this body of Christ, of which we are all an essential part. We are so richly blessed for so many decades that we actually risk taking it for granted or forgetting that it all came from God. We risk being the lost if we forget that. But we are definitely the missionaries if we take the parts that we love, this community, this church, one another, our faith, and we share it liberally, constantly, in all that we say and do. I believe we're the missionaries. Occasionally, we get lost. But my vision for this church is the ones going out, the ones who are wise and shrewd and practical, but are pure in their intentions, innocent in their hearts, loving of God. We just have to keep trusting in the one who loves us, and we will always share what we love.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is a Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. As I know thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Jesus, hold my hand, I pray I need thee every hour. Through this lonely pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my humble plea, O Lord, and please look down on me. Jesus.
travel in thy light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy thine, and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soul that's brave and true, and never firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Jesus, hold my hand, I pray I need thee every hour. Through this holy pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my humble plea, O Lord, and please look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to find you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to find you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
As we come to prayer, there are so many people in Duff's that we need to keep in our prayers. We need to pray for all the victims of discrimination and unfair treatment and judgment. We need to pray for all the families around the world who have been thrust into mourning for people lost to this pandemic. We need to pray for the folks who couldn't even say goodbye because they weren't allowed to visit the hospital or the nursing home. We need to say a prayer of thanks for all those who have recovered well. And we need to say a prayer of thanks for all of those who continue to strive to treat the affected, to contain this virus, and for all the people who have kept us going these past few months. Let's, wherever we are, bow in prayer. God of creation and recreation, all life, physical and spiritual, flows from your grace. You are the goal of every loving heart, the source of every good purpose. Your glory fills the universe, your wisdom astounds every mortal age, and your love is our bond and our freedom. We praise and thank you for the everlasting gift of your Son, our friend and our Redeemer. May his earthly life continue to inform our living. May Jesus' teaching lead the march for equality and mutual respect in our cultures. May his brave compassion cause us to gather up the confused and the despairing into the light of assurance. May his command to love challenge our priorities and rattle the status quo. May his empowering presence release the gifts that we deny or downplay, and may your will be done. The world suffers, Lord, every minute, in the wake of greed and abuse, in the grip of disease and poverty, at the hands of the ignorant and the hateful. Only you, God, only you can turn the heart of the callous oppressor, can humble the self-serving leader, can persuade the decision makers with a vision of justice and peace. In this moment, hear our prayers for the people and the situations that fill our thoughts and need you today. Lead us through this day with confidence of faith, knowing you are near. And help us to accept the mysteries of your way among and within us. In Jesus' name, we pray all things. Amen. Let us go in his peace. Let us be assured of his constancy always, of his nearness always, that he is the very soul of our strength and our peace. May the grace of God, the redeeming mercy of Jesus Christ, and the sustaining fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us and all whom we love, today and always. And together all the people said, in all the separate corners of the world,
each and all of every